train the mind. It's not just a question of having a meditation technique that we use to bludgeon the mind into the present moment. Because if that's our approach, the mind is going to start rebelling, finding ways of slipping around. Because there are times when the technique works, and there's other times when it doesn't work so well. And the times when it doesn't work, that's what the mind's going to rebel against. If you just sort of single-mindedly use that one technique and don't have other techniques up your sleeve. And other approaches as well. It's not just a question of technique. And in training the mind, you have to remember there's a whole committee in there. And the committee in the past has had its balance of power. And it's had its likes and its dislikes. And the politics among the various voices in your mind. And each of them has different ways of pushing its agenda on the rest of the mind. And just as their defilements have lots of tricks up their sleeves, you as a meditator have to have lots of tricks up your sleeve as well. One really basic one is when the mind says, okay, I've got to do this, I want to do that, I don't want to meditate, you have to ask, well, why? And play kind of dumb. So the mind really has to explain itself. It's like that story they tell in Introduction to Journalism class. If you really want to get a good interview out of somebody, you have to play dumb. Ask stupid questions so that they feel that they really have to explain things to you very carefully. And oftentimes they expose all kinds of things that they wouldn't have otherwise. And it's the same with your own mind. When greed, anger, and delusion come in the mind, usually they come in with a lot of force and expect just to push you over. And so one thing you've just got to do is ask, well, why? Why should we follow that? Why should we want instant gratification? And there's the kind of the of course-ness to their answer the first time around. Of course you want it this way. Of course you want that. Well, why? And if you be persistent in being kind of blockheaded like that, then after a while the defilements will start exposing themselves to see how shabby they are. And make it that much easier to get around them. Other times you have to, well, it's like with a little kid. Sometimes you have to be strict with a kid. Other times you have to offer rewards. Patiently explain things. Other times you have to make up little games. In other words, you have to use your full psychology with the mind. But this time around, you're using it not for the purpose of deception, which is what the mind ordinarily does with itself, but for the purpose of truth and honesty and what's really in your own best interest. Because when you think about it, the wandering mind, what does it do for you? It gives a little bit of instant gratification, then it's all gone, with nothing to show for itself. And where are you going to pick up the skills you're going to need when aging, illness, and death really hit in full force? This is why the Buddha stressed the principle of heedfulness all the time. We can't just spend our time sniffing the flowers and looking at the sky. There's work to be done. Because if the mind is untrained, it causes a lot of unhappiness for us. If the mind is well trained, if it's more tractable, it can bring us a lot of happiness. But in order to do that, you have to learn how to psych out your own mind, so as to put it in the mood to meditate. Once it starts meditating and begins to see the results, it gets easier. Most of the time. Then there's sometimes it just starts rebelling all over again, totally irrationally. So you've got to sit down with it again, work things through with it again to see exactly what the issue is, what got covered up the last time around, and is only now getting exposed. And this is one of the ways in which you learn a lot about your defilements. It's not that you have to wait until concentration comes so that you can see the defilements very clearly. A lot of the learning about the defilements is learning how to struggle with them, to bring the mind to stillness. And you begin to see, oh, this is how that kind of thought works. This is how this thought works. This is how I've fallen for this stuff before in the past. Well, this time around, I'm not going to fall. And sometimes it sounds like a battle, and sometimes it's just simply learning how to work together in the way that's for your own best interest. As a teacher, and that's what you are. You become your own teacher as you meditate. You've got to have lots of ways of relating to the different elements in your mind. The times when you can win the refinements over, that's when it's best. So that your desire turns into a desire to practice. Your hatred turns into a hatred of the defilements. You learn how to use these things for your own true purposes, the energy they have. That's when you can really be said to be a discerning meditator. Because you can't gain insight simply just by following the rules. Someone says, well, do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So you do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 without any thinking, without any reflection on what you're doing. And it just doesn't give you insights. It gives you pre-programmed insights sometimes, but the actual startling new understandings that can come across, that come about through the meditation, they don't happen because you're just too busy following the directions. The directions are there for you to apply to mind and look at what happens. Reflect on what happens. Make adjustments. Make the meditation your own. And not just somebody else's truck riding through your head. Because after all, the big issues are how you relate to yourself. How you relate to the body, how you relate to feelings, perceptions, thought constructs, consciousness. That's the area where you're causing yourself suffering. And that's the area where you've got to get insight. Nobody can get in else can get into your head and straighten these things out for you. You use the techniques to see how they reflect and what they reveal about the mind. And then you build on those lessons so that the meditation does become your own. In Thai, they have a word for practice, which also means looking after somebody. And so in other words, the practice of the Dharma, you're looking after your own mind. It's not so much you're learning about Buddhism, you're learning about your own mind. That's when the meditation really starts showing its value. Because it rearranges all the power balances in the mind. So that truth begins to take over. Wisdom begins to take over. Discernment takes over. These become the big powers in your mind. They're the ones that are in charge of any discussion. And when that's the kind of mind you have, then it's a really good mind to live in. You live in places only for a certain amount of time. But you live in your own mind all the time. So try to make the mind a good place to live. So that no matter what else happens outside, at least the mind is on proper terms with itself. Not fighting itself, not doing stupid things that are not in its own best interest. So it really does know how to deal with, say, the aggregates as they arise. Knows how to deal with pain so it doesn't turn it into suffering. Knows how to deal with pleasure so it doesn't turn it into suffering. It develops a basic intelligence in sorting itself out, managing itself, so that all the mental powers you have suddenly become powers you can use. As we were saying today, there are times when you don't want to be focused on the breath. There are things that you've got to think about, things you have to plan for, things you have to ponder. Well, you take those powers of the mind and you train them so they're more efficient, so they're more useful, and they get better results. So it's an all-around training, not just one in learning how to relate to the breath, but learning how to relate to everything else that goes on in the mind as well. So that skillful thoughts take over, unskillful thoughts just get left behind. That's when you can say that the meditation is a whole mind process. And it has results that penetrate throughout the whole mind. The committee members learn how to live together. And the ones who should be in charge, the skillful qualities, they do take over. And they run the show in such a way that nobody suffers.